Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome and back.
We have a special guest today, Josh White. Josh, how you doing?
Doing good, guys.
Good to hear.
I do want to throw it out there that Josh is not your typical creative, although he does work with a company called, what's it, Logical?
Logical Positions.
Logical Positions. And they specialize in SEO, Google AdWords, and a bunch of stuff that I think is really useful and pertains directly to creatives. So that's why he's here.
And they actually work directly with Google AdWords, right?
That's our bread and butter is Google AdWords, and then we have other departments across the United States that focus on SEO, social media marketing, like remarketing with Facebook, Instagram, and then it's also like web design and things like that.
Cool. So I want to start at the very beginning and ask you what your education background is.
What is it? Graduated high school, dropped out of college after a year, film school.
You went to film school where at?
The Academy of Art University in San Francisco.
Okay, so you're halfway creative.
Yeah, halfway.
You are a creative person. Your just career right now at this point is not a creator.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think as far as like creating goes, I don't do it professionally. I do it more for, I mean, all the things that I do create or I get creative on, I don't get paid to do. I just do that for like the self fulfillment of it, I guess.
And that is something that we talk about a lot, is you always kind of have to have an outlet of some sort. Do you have that right now?
Currently, probably not. As far as like an outlet, it's really kind of just what I'm doing at the time. I mean, it could be anything. Like I used to take like action figures and like take them into the woods and like do like little photo shoots with them and stuff.
that's great.
So I mean, it's just like little small things like that that I just like. I think they're super fun at the time, and then I'll get bored with them. But like, all right, I'm moving on to something else.
Yeah, it's very short lived.
Yeah,
and then you make crazy casseroles, tuna melt casseroles.
Yeah,
and that's where you take.
Yeah. Then it takes some creativity in the kitchen. Yeah big time.
That's great, man.
So how did you end up getting this job?
Actually, it was one of my buddies. I was managing like a Big Five sporting goods at the time, and he asked me if I wanted to make a career move over to the sales side of our company. So I said, "Are they going to pay me more? Like, what's the pay like?"
Yeah,
you know. And I went over there and I started learning about AdWords, learning about what we do with AdWords. Definitely intrigued me. And then I was going for that job security, getting off the sales floor just because that's all commission-based and whatnot. Mm. So I wanted some job security, and I liked what I do. I like talking to people, so that's when I moved into my role.
I want you to describe, like, for a lot of people, what exactly is, like, a Google AdWord, or, like, how does that advertising work?
So as far as – so, I mean, if you Google anything, I mean you could Bing anything. I mean, Microsoft has their own ad platform, but basically it's a way that you pay to get your – product out in front of somebody by paying for that exposure. So it's an auction basically for the first couple of positions on the first page results on Google and Bing.
So how does that combat the idea of just general SEO?
So, well, I mean, your ads are going to show up, all ads, the first 3 to 4 results that show up on any search engine, or not any, but Google specifically, are paid advertisements. And then after that, you have your organic rankings and then all of the Google My Business, Google Places, those things on the right-hand side if shopping's not involved.
Mm-hmm. So the very top is paid, but the rankings after that, how are they ordered?
So those are your organic rankings. So I'm by no means an expert when it comes to the organic side of things and the algorithms that Google uses. But essentially, the rankings are based off of a lot of the backlinking that you do on your website, other links that people have to your website, basically how the rest of the internet views your website compared to others and what people are searching.
And Logical Positions does help people with their organic rankings.
Yeah.
That's what I read on the site.
Yeah, we have a Chicago-based office that solely handle our web development and our SEO, and those two are now working hand-in-hand with each other to just produce better websites and better organic rankings.
So what do you do there?
So I handle like the client side. So for our AdWords, that's essentially what my bread and butter is. There's two positions with every AdWords account that we manage, and one is the account manager. So I'm a senior account manager with our company. I've been there for about 4 years now, and then we have a paid search specialist. So Basically, the paid search specialist does a lot of the things behind the scenes with optimizing the account, however, how frequently they need to be in there and doing that. And then my role is to kind of communicate a lot of that to the client, explain to them the changes that we're making, put it into a report that's easy for them to read. If they're very knowledgeable, that's always better. But if they don't know anything about AdWords, which sometimes that's, you know, a handful of our clients, you know, it's our job to kind of explain that stuff to them and make it put it in a way that's best understood by them.
What is the office like when Google comes out with a new algorithm? Because that happens every couple years?
It does. And I think, what was it, about a year and a half ago, they said they weren't going to be doing it anymore. Because usually it was like 6 months is what it took for your organic stuff to start populating, or changes that you would make on the site. It would take about 6 months for the bots to crawl your site and then give you a ranking based off of what they have. So the last Penguin update that came out basically just made that continuous. So the changes that you're now making on your website are instant when the bots are crawling it. So you actually have the ability for your organic ranking to start growing faster. So I believe that was about a year and a half ago that they updated it. And I haven't heard of any big updates since then. As far as like big updates, like little stuff that they do with their algorithms.
Yeah, I could just see a place like that going crazy once they do make an update, because they do like mention what is changing, and it's usually like for the better good of everybody.
Yeah,
just because everyone like kind of learns how to cheat the system, and like, all right, we're gonna figure it out this way.
They definitely do, and on like the organic side, those changes come like few and far between. But on the pay per click side, so the AdWords side of things, those changes are coming frequently with updates that they're bringing to the table just based off of, you know, the feedback that they get from all of their customers and companies like ours.
In terms of like creatives in our world, I feel like they rely heavily on what Instagram, actually that might be Instagram and Facebook. That might be what they push the hardest. I mean, when they have to make the change to a Google AdWords, like what's an easy way to take that step?
So, I mean, a lot of people think that, you know, I want to rank good for this keyword and this keyword, and if people are looking for this, I want to be found. And I think, you know, the big misconception is that you have to have all of these keywords, when really it comes down to a select few. And even just working there with all the different types of accounts that I work on, you always see just a handful that really kind of drive the traffic to the site. At the end of the day, that's what you're looking for, but it also has to do with who else is doing it. So like if you're a custom clothing company, you know, here in Portland, you're going to have the hardest time getting the exposure because, again, it's a bidding platform. So I could say, I want to pay 50 cents for a click, but you could have five other guys that say, well, I'll pay $1.50 or $1.51. And you just try to outbid all of those people to try to get a better ranking. And
that could add up fast.
It does. It definitely does. I have, I have clients that I manage, you know, $18,000 a month on. I have clients that I manage like $500 a month on. And the results are never, obviously they're different based off of what your goals are, but, the ad spend definitely adds up pretty quickly as far as what you're able to generate from a traffic standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Unlimited budget is always best.
Yeah, I guess that could help.
What words are people searching?
you want to know the number one thing searched on Bing?
Fuck yeah.
Google.
No way.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely.
What else is there? What are some other crazy search things that we wouldn't expect?
Oh, man.
It's demographical, right? So, like, you know, Oregon people are searching different shit than New York people? Or?
So, I mean, we don't look at that kind
look
of
at that
stuff. I mean, when I look at what people are actually Googling and then clicking on my client's ad, it's usually pertained to what we're going after from a keyword standpoint. So if I'm selling, you know, hose reels that are super fancy, custom made, I'm only going to be going after people who are Googling things about hose reels. That's very related to that industry specifically. And then I have Google AdWords has tools where you can go in and see what people type in. So when you get like the weird industries like escape rooms or like
right.
crime scene cleanup, Mm. And then you're looking at what people are Googling. Then things get a little weird, a little dark.
Right. Yeah, because it's a weird crossover. It's like supposed to be a fun experience, and then you're like getting murder scenes and shit. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not like those two counts are tied to each other in any way, shape, or form, but the way that we structure out like who gets what kind of clients, everybody has their strong suits. But, I mean, I've had that exactly. I've had crime scene cleanup clients. That's what they do professionally. We run ads for them. And then I have a client right now who sells, you know, really super fancy hose reels. So, I mean, the spectrum of clients that you have is always, it's always changing, which is probably one of my favorite things about the job, is that you get to see into the worlds of all these different industries and different clients. And really what it takes for all these little businesses or all these big businesses to actually function, and how much of a role that the online advertising plays a role in that.
What's a big like misconception that you see that everyone always comes up to you and saying like, oh yeah, we heard we need this, and you're like, no dude, that's not even close, man.
I mean, you guys want me to get technical?
Get technical.
Yeah, so I mean, a big misconception when you're looking into like an AdWords account, or if you're running AdWords, is like, I need a high CTR, which is the percentage, it's called a click-through rate, which is the percentage of right. how many people see your ad and the percentage of people who actually click on that ad. Everyone's usually, you know, when you get the guys that don't really know what they're doing, or, you know, they only have a limited knowledge when it comes to AdWords, you could have zero results. So zero people, you know, clicking onto the website and actually converting or filling out a form or, I guess, interacting with your website in the way that you would want them to. And they look at CTR and be like, I have a 4.9 CTR. Last year I had a 2.5 CTR. You guys are crushing it, you know, and it's... That means absolutely nothing to us. All it means is we're getting in front of more relevant wow. people. Yeah.
I see CTR everywhere where people are trying to advertise, like, look what we can do for you and look what you need and stuff. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, from a sales technique, that works, because when you're talking to a client like that doesn't necessarily understand the in and outs of AdWords, and most sales reps don't understand the in and outs of AdWords, but it's a good talking point because it's something that shows up right there in every report that they're looking at, and they're like, we could double that CTR. You easily could. I mean, you could double CTR by, you know, putting a picture of a puppy out there on a shopping right. app. You know, all you want is the clicks at that point.
Right.
And but so many people get paid like based on clicks. Doesn't that kind of make that whole idea, doesn't that make it invalid in a way?
Yeah. I mean, for the most part.
Then what's the solution then?
I mean, I just don't even talk about it with my clients.
You don't?
The CTR is something that does, if anything, it just shows me that I'm showing up to a large demographic that we shouldn't be showing up for.
Oh, wow.
So right. we're only able to see people who click on our ad. We're able to see what they type into Google when they do that. So for us to go in and kind of fix that issue, then we'll look at certain keywords that we're going after that have higher CTR. And usually those are the more broad type. So like if I'm looking for, let's say I have a website where I sell German Shepherds, but I've got puppies for sale. I'm gonna have a pretty awful CTR if I've got German Shepherd puppies for sale in my ad copy, but someone just typed in puppies for sale. Right. That might not be the breed that they're looking for.
Well, then for like an advertising standpoint, and I don't know if this is like exactly what you do, but for like, let's say if you get paid on to have like people go to this landing page, like see ads that you place there, would that be one instance where the click-through rate is important, or are you focusing primarily on form submissions? Or like what do you think is the most valuable in that scenario?
At the end of the day, when you're paying to get people to your website, I would imagine that most business owners want those users or those visitors to convert in a way where if they're, you know, mowing lawns over the summer, they have a, you know, some, if it's a lead gen industry, we want them to fill out forms. We want them to give them a call or fill out a quote form. We want them to interact with the site in a way that's going to lead to business. If they're online e-commerce and they're making sales, we want people to buy off their website.
So more clicks and like equal sales means that you're just putting in front of the wrong people, kind of like what you said.
Yeah, yeah, for the most part. I mean, you get to a point where, I mean, with our company, that's what we focus on, our conversions and the value behind the AdWords. And if there's an area that doesn't make sense, if revenue-wise, if you're doing an e-commerce site, you know, we pull back in areas that isn't making sense or isn't making money, that we're just spending on useless traffic and we're allocating that elsewhere.
So let's say the instance of a musician. they would, instead of a form submission, they would want ticket sales or merch sales or something, but they might get, let's say, 100,000 clicks. And then if it jumps to 200,000 clicks and they don't get more ticket sales, don't get more merch sales, then they're paying for nothing in a way.
Yeah. I mean, from a musician standpoint, I would even go the AdWords side of things, that's really there for brand recognition. So, I mean, those branded keywords where it's the band name or something like that would might be more beneficial. Rather than just going, I mean, no one's searching Google for new music. You know what I mean? Right. They're going to other places like Spotify. Yeah.
Well, what about like looking up reggae bands in Portland?
Yeah, I mean, if that was a keyword for sure, like on a local market, that could definitely get there if you're going after genre, and then getting the exposure back over to the website where, you know, they have all the content that they want.
Would the Roseland want that? I mean, it seems like they would.
For the Roseland specific, well, I don't know. I mean, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I would assume that the Roseland, obviously they put on shows, but most of the time people are looking up specific bands that, you know, the Roseland has booked. So yeah. That's how they're going to end up getting to the Roseland site, because they're looking for a specific band.
Interesting.
You know, but from a Roseland standpoint, I would assume from an advertising or what they're looking for is they're looking to maybe get inquiries from other bands to book with them, or at least inquire about booking with them. I don't know what level the Roseland's at, but.
So the venue gets most of their hits from the people that they're putting on.
I would assume. Yeah.
That would make sense. For sure.
What do you think about Rand Fishkin?
Who's Rand Fishkin?
Rand Fishkin, the SEO expert in Seattle, who like is like a keynote speaker at all these marketing conferences, and has the hipster hair, and he, if you don't know who he is, it doesn't matter, obviously.
Go for it, Rand.
He's pretty famous in like the SEO world, and I always wonder where people who are deep in that scene think of him. But yeah, obviously, irrelevant.
No, and like I said, like I don't focus on SEO. I don't focus on the social media aspect of things. My bread and butter and what I put a lot of my time and effort into is AdWords. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not gonna hire a house painter and then be like, so what do you think about how this guy's power washing my driveway every week? You know what I mean?
Right.
Put it in layman's terms, like I have a wheelhouse and I try to stay in it.
And SEO, like, itself is so complicated and people don't get it.
Yeah.
They think that, you know, you read an article, you understand it, but it's like, no, you have to like study it.
You do.
For
yeah.
like every day.
Is SEO and internet and blockchain, is this the new finance? Is this, cause there was like a massive financial boom over the last 20 years and like all these people are just like, I'm just going to go into finance and now I make $200,000 a year minimum. Right. Is this the new thing? Like, is this going to be the new, like, Wolf of Wall Street? Is like all the internet people who understand what's going on under the surface.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And people don't want to do it. It's like dealing with money. It's like, dude, I don't want to spend 8 hours a day staring at a computer, figuring out exactly when to click what and how to manage everything. I can't, I don't have time for this. And so definitely people are going to be like, I got time for it. And then, you know, just collect.
Well, right. I mean, that's what like financial advisors or like people who just, you know, fish the stock market for their clients. Like I believe that's what my father-in-law does. Like that's, you know, he.
Oh, advisors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Well,
yeah.
I'm saying that's what they do now, but with the internet growing like this, like these SEO experts and internet advertisement experts are kind of becoming rock stars slowly. And as blockchain technology increases, finance is going to be it's going to disseminate a little bit more. It's not going to be everyone. The same people in power financially aren't going to be, because money will become decentralized if blockchain keeps going with the way it is, which I don't see why it wouldn't.
Well, I mean, the blockchain, I mean, and this is 10 years. I mean, that could completely change a company like mine. I mean, that make
absolutely.
Google completely irrelevant. It's basically cutting out the middleman. And that's, Google is the middleman at this point.
Right, but I feel like a company that big would just ride the wave and just get in on blockchain and be like, well, let's just help facilitate blockchain now. And then
they're innovative enough that they
Right. Yeah, for sure.
They're not going to pull a Blockbuster here and just completely go extinct because they didn't want to adapt to technology.
Right.
It's the smaller companies like Uber, for example. Like, I could see Uber taking a huge hit because then it's just going to connect drivers to people who – there are people that are just willing to pay drivers rather than use the Uber. Obviously, there's still going to be people who use Uber.
Right. Because Uber at least has a mild vetting process.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the world of blockchain, I mean, that's going to change an industry like mine drastically, to the point where we're internally I had a conversation with our director, and I mean, they're already trying to, you know, find the most innovative ways to plan for something like that.
Right. You gotta, right. Yeah. I mean, are they, and if this is too deep, that's fine, but are they scared or are they embracing it? They're just like ready for the future.
No, I mean, just like you guys said, like Google's never going to go anywhere. You know what I mean? Right. Google's always going to be there. Well, for the foreseeable future, like the next 30 years, in my lifetime, Google's not going anywhere.
Yeah, so. I feel like these technological powerhouses are almost kind of sort of slightly replacing certain parts of the government. Like they're these, like everyone's happy Google is there. We don't want Google to go anywhere. We want Google. It's like, dude, I'd love Google. Who, well, you know, it's like even if the company, they'd have to fuck up so much for people to get mad enough for things to change, you know, like they do good things, you know, they do bad things and every company does good and bad things. But. You know, that it's just one of those like superpowers that really, if Google was gone, our country would be fucked. We would be fucked, dude. What are you going to do? I mean, you go on Bing and cry.
That is like, something we have over other countries. We're like, yeah, we got Google.
Well, other countries can use Google. Yeah, yeah. Well, other countries are creating the products, you know, that for Google and Apple. And yeah, but for sure. So they have the point where some power, but yeah.
When Google, did you guys ever see the movie The Circle?
No. Yeah,
you did.
I did.
So I mean, it's basically like it's like who's the star in that one? Tom Hanks. Hanks. Yeah, okay. So, it was a Tom Hanks movie, but I mean, it was basically like Google running the world, or like the Black Mirror episode where they have like the social media stuff where everybody's.
The ranking?
Yeah, the ranking.
Oh, so good.
So it's like such that episode, one. But it's
have
like...
Have you seen it?
No, I heard about
okay, so
it.
Basically this chick's going... So everyone's got rankings and it's like Uber rankings, but it's like for your Instagram. It's like everyone's got like an Instagram kind of thing. It's not... This isn't a spoiler alert at all. I'm not going to say what happens. This is the premise. This is when it starts. This is what the world they live in. So yeah, it's everyone's getting rated out of 5 stars. Or out of 5 or whatever, just like Uber, yep. And you just rate anyone off, and you just like you take a picture of them with your phone and just like rate them, or like you have your phone identify their face just like while you're walking by them and be like, oh, that guy, pff, 1 star, fuck
yeah,
that guy.
Like you rate people based on like the interactions or like not even having an interaction, like God, that guy has toilet paper stuck to his foot coming out of the bathroom, like that's a 1 star,
and it becomes your social status. So like yeah. the homeless people who no one will like, I can't be seen with you, they're the 1 star people, and the 5 star yeah. people are like the rich. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. So anyways.
So I mean, that is like kind of what, like that and the movie The Circle, I think is like where we're headed with Google as far as like being able, I don't think we're ever going to get to that level because that'd be absolutely ridiculous. And I hope I don't live in a world like that. But, I know. You know, I feel like, you know, Google is definitely making its way to be like the, almost like that, just the rating system. Everything's connected to Google. Google will run the world at one point.
Eventually. Well, that's yeah. Blockchain could
completely
mess with that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, definitely. And I honestly hope they do.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Blockchain is one of those things that once it gets out there, it's kind of like AI. Like once it gets out there, like you can't do anything about it.
No,
it's there.
Yeah.
It's not. It's too complex and too much work has been put into it for someone to like undo it at that point. You know, just like information, because it is information. It's a way of. It's like, you know, when a secret gets out, you can't. It's out. And that's basically what blockchain is for information technology.
No, I mean it's like a Google sheet. That nobody has like 100% control over.
Exactly.
Everyone can edit it, but then they can't. Like, or I guess everyone can add to it, but then no one can take anything off of it.
Right. Because each time you do something, it creates a copy.
Yeah.
So every single
just
thing
like
is
a giant
copy.
Ledger.
Yeah.
Of information.
Yeah.
That can never be unledged.
Yeah.
I have a question. Where do you think this is all going with like the algorithms and the search engines? Like, what do you think this is eventually going to lead to? Because I know some people are like scared of it. Some people don't like the technology. They think like AI is going to come into play. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, AI is already in play.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, you don't even know it. But like, when
Google must be taking advantage of that more than anyone, right?
Oh, they definitely do. So, I mean, they had something that came out. They were called GSP, which were Google sponsored ads. That didn't make sense. Google ad promotions or something like that. But, basically, what it did is Google monitored everybody's email, and they looked for specific keywords within the text of the email or the headlines, and then they would give you an ad based off of the content of your email.
What?
Fuck that
what?
Shit.
Holy shit. What?
Yeah,
whoa.
Yeah, big time.
Oh my God, dude.
So, I mean,
holy shit. This is the first time anyone. Wow. Okay. So, we all know this is happening. Whoa. We all know this is happening, but
big time.
But it is actually happening.
Yeah. I mean, when you get an email, and I still get them in my Gmail account, I'll get two emails that pop up on the top, and those are ads paid by whoever the owner of that ad is. But they didn't find your email, track you down, and then put an ad in your inbox. Gmail put that, or Google put that ad in your inbox just based off of the content of your emails.
Holy shit! They scanned so many emails.
Yeah. I actually have a plan. I have a client that I use it for, and it does really, really, really well. Like, there's a lot of people that save those ads. The dude sells planes, like jets and like, you know, G5s and things like that.
Very niche market.
Yeah. Very niche. So it does work out. But at the same time, like, I know that, and I was very uncomfortable like talking with clients or even pitching it because I don't like that from a personal standpoint. Like, I don't.
Right.
Fuck that. Get out of my inbox.
You know, the big brothery stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you think that's happening in your email, like, just imagine what Apple's doing. Like,
this is what a lot of people have experienced this, and I've experienced it. I was talking to Josh Plymel. Okay. So I was texting my friend on Facebook, and I said, football helmet logos. For whatever reason, we're talking about football helmet logos. I said that to him on Facebook Messenger, just typed in Facebook Messenger, and then I wanted to Google it, and so I just jumped into Google and typed football, and it said helmet logos.
Yep.
Like, immediately. It was seconds later. It was Facebook. I was on Facebook, and seconds later, Google knew. Google knew what I wanted.
So Instagram and Facebook both have a setting in your phone where it records your conversations, and there's literally a setting in your phone, and you turn it off.
Oh my god!
Wait, hold on. This is when it asks you, "Can we record your audio and video?" Is that part of it?
No, I don't. It doesn't.
Can we access your camera and your mic?
So it flips a setting. Like, Instagram does the same thing, and you have to literally go in and turn it off. But I was talking to a buddy about the Goonies. And Instagram started showing me like Goonies posters, and then Facebook started showing me like buying just Goonies shit. And I was like, what the fuck? And then it happened again. I was like, this is fucking weird. And I went in, found the setting that is recording all of my conversations.
Wait, it's just
like
Alexa. And you can turn it off.
Yeah, you can. So they're no longer listening to any of my things.
Wait, so what setting is it?
Yeah, what is this? Tell us how to do this.
All right.
Hello. You want to do my phone just to like talk people through this?
On an Apple iPhone, yeah.
Yeah, you got to go. Okay, if you go into your in your settings, general, or wait, I'm sorry, not your general, but if you go into your Facebook app in the settings section, you got a lot of shit on here, Alex.
I got a lot of apps, yeah.
I don't even know where, you don't even have Facebook on here, do
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I do. It's down there somewhere.
Oh, look at that, it's in alphabetical order. So there's when you're in here and you're looking at Siri and search suggestions, nope, that's not it. All right, I'm not finding it right now.
Can you disable? Well, then nah,
you can.
Then
you can,
but then you can't use the app at all. And then you're kind of...
What do you mean? Like Facebook?
Yeah, because I just disabled Facebook on my phone.
Yeah, I did too. Like, I don't use it.
Right? Yeah, you're like, get the fuck out of my life.
But yeah. So, I mean, there's technology. I'll do it.
But
you can
still... Here's the thing is, you can still use the Messenger. You can disable Facebook, but still use the Messenger.
No, the Messenger is the dangerous one.
Yeah,
it
is.
That's the one that tracks literally everything you're doing.
Yeah, but that's fine.
So you do it in Messenger then?
No, I don't do any of that. No, I deleted all of that stuff off my phone.
Wow.
I like living kind of off the grid.
Wow, so you go into working for the internet for a couple of years, and you're just like, well, I better disconnect from fucking everything. Fuck this. Whoa, I am not playing this game.
Yeah. So what else is going on that we don't know about? I feel like I've been learning a lot.
I mean, that's probably like the biggest one that that stood out to me as far as like learning different things about the industry and what's going on. I mean, that one. Listening to your conversations, and it's not like working at Logical Position, like help me figure out what Facebook is doing and listening. Like, that's all, like, you were just talking about shit, and then things just pop up on your feed, and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
This is not coincidence.
Is Alexa as bad as you think it is?
Yeah, I don't know, but I would assume.
Yeah.
So CAPTCHA, you guys know CAPTCHA,
yeah.
ReCAPTCHA, the password or the, you know, to make sure that you're human. Yeah. So that's also a way for Google and other companies to record your shit. And one thing that they do, I don't know why they need this, but they need people to type out books, books that they're transferring to the internet. And I have no idea the details of this, but somehow they'll put one word in CAPTCHA. You have to type two words in CAPTCHA a lot of the time. One word is real. It's like, hey, are you a human? And the other word is they just want you to type it because they need it recorded in onto a computer. So they like take a photo of it, split it up, and they put it there because somehow it's faster for them to program something to do that so that you can type it out.
What?
And then once it's typed out, then they have the text, the code for the text rather than the code for a photo. And then they can use that text code to
write books
digitally. Yeah, so that they're just having – so we're all writing books.
Honestly, that's kind of badass.
It is kind of badass.
Because now you can put on like from 2000 and – or from 1989 to 2018 – pretty much an author.
You know what I mean? Best-selling New York Times. Yeah, I was part of that book, yeah.
And then if you drop that knowledge bomb in an interview, they're going to be like, oh, this guy's high speed.
That's true.
Hired.
Yeah. There's also all those Facebook things where they're, you know, those little gimmicks where they're like, you know, what are you going to look like in 20 years? Show us your photo and give us access to your Facebook and we'll make some weird picture out of it and send it to. So they take your photo and save it for demographic purposes, and then they have access to your Facebook and record your information for demographic purposes as well. So you can figure all that stuff out. I mean, it's happening all the time.
And if you're listening to this right now and you're like, oh, I did that, you can't ever get that back. It's out there. It's already done.
I think we got to all just kind of accept that, you know,
we're fucked.
Yeah. But it's not, you know, it's not, I don't think it has to be the end of the world. You know, it's hard to like think about that and not have an apocalyptic view. Of the, like a big brothery apocalyptic view. It's like, well, the government is watching us all and the entire world's going to be nuked for sure. You know, well, it's like, it feels like that sometimes when you get.
I think from like an advertising standpoint, it can do really, really good. Not only for growing businesses and growing companies, but also from an interest standpoint. So if you're very political and you have, you know, very strong thoughts about certain, you know, rights activists, whatever the case may be. I think it does do a good job, at least on the Facebook side, is like getting you linked up to a lot of that stuff, and making knowledge more easy to come by rather than searching for it. And I mean, with the attention span that I feel like, the smartphone internet has like provided and just naturally decreased within like our generation. Coming up on that information more efficiently, more faster, can be a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what's the worst thing they could do with a photo of you, you know?
Yeah. Unless you're a celebrity or running for office.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, I guess.
I could never run for office.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, it's like there's so many people to attack or do something negative with their information with. Why would they be coming after you?
Right.
Or me, you know? It's like when people freak out about that, it's kind of like, well, you're not. There's no reason to come after you or do anything negative with your information except for just, you know, make money off it.
I always get nervous because I'm in the National Guard as well. And I always just think that I'm going to get in trouble for doing something that I'm not supposed to do.
I actually, I had a question. So with your, I'll hold it. So like from, you know, your position and where you work right now, what's your take on ad blockers?
Ooh, they can definitely be, I mean, it just comes down to like getting off the grid. You know what I mean? Like it comes down to your position on if you want people telling you what to do and when to buy or showing you their products. Like my dad, for example, he has ad blockers on everything, and then that's just who he is. He's just like, I don't want people showing me. I don't want people following me around. Cause that's what remarketing is. We drop a cookie and we follow you on with different websites. What Google does with that information, I have no idea, but that's one way that we can target specific people. When you have ad blocker on, that's no longer available. We can't get you with those kinds of things, which can at the same time, I mean, it's almost like taking a step backwards. So you have the ability to show people or get your product in front of people because they're looking for it. With ad blocker, you're not giving companies the ability to do that.
Yeah, I was just curious because, you know, I'd pretty much run an ad blocker since, you know, they became popular. I think I've had mine since 2008-ish. And like for the longest time, I didn't know YouTube had ads on their videos.
Oh yeah.
Because it took care of those. And I think in like 2011 when I was at school and someone was playing YouTube, I was like, they have ads? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, I had no idea.
But it also seems like the ad blockers aren't as efficient as they used to be.
Yeah, probably not.
There is a whole thing. So like the original ad block, like first like popular ad blocker, they started getting paid by advertisement companies to whitelist their ads and like started letting them go through. And so
sons of bitches.
Everybody switched over.
Wait. Dude was trying to retire, man. Right? You're like, I'm done. Gonna buy that RV.
Yep.
Wow. Wow, it's crazy. It's a crazy world we live in now.
Yep.
Well, I think we've hit a couple of great points, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's wrap it up. It's been a great podcast, I think, for sure. Yeah, got some great information. It's really cool.
Well, we appreciate you coming out here, Josh.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Black Bolt Podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, no, thanks, man. Appreciate you coming out.
Yeah, thanks really for having me, guys.
That went out there. Have a great rest of your day.
Yep. Enjoy. Don't get too spied on by the government. Peace out.